Okay. Also, before we begin, I also just want a big yishkoch to Neil for the inspiration
Neil, I don't know
and
how
the motivation.
Neil does everything he does. I mean, the man has 25 hands or something.
It's absolutely incredible. And
25 hands, I still can't hold on to anything. So.
There's really a tremendous zechus for all the Torah that's going to be learned in this group. So, great. So let's begin. There's sort of like a supplementary packet to hopefully enhance the words of Ramosh Cordovero. So we'll start in the beginning. Actually, tonight's shiur is going to be focused more... Oh, I'm sorry, did I not... Tonight's shiur is going to be focused actually on his introduction, where actually next week we'll hopefully start the first Mida, the first of the Midos. So he has one paragraph of introduction. So he starts... Actually, we'll start inside the text of the Tomer Devora, and then we'll work our way out. So Ramosh Cordovero begins. He says, Ha'adam, person, ro'oi sheyitame lekoma kono. It is proper, I'm sorry, in the Tomer. So it's appropriate for a person to be domeh, to be similar to lekono, to his creator, to God. Va'az yihyeh besod hatzura ha'elyona, Tselem Udimus. And then, by working to be similar to his creator, then he will be modeled after the form of above. Tselem Udimus. So Tselem Udimus, those words ring a bell, because those are the words when God creates man. Right? He uses these words. Right? For example, Tselem Elohim, we all know. So, you're starting out that it's appropriate to model ourselves, model our lives, pattern ourselves after God. She'ilu yaduma begufo v'lo bepu'ulos, because if a person would just be similar to God only in physical form, only in his body, v'lo bepu'ulos, but not in his actions, harehu machziv hatzura v'yomru alav tzurana'u ma'asim ku'urim. He's machziv, he's almost making disgusting his form, he's degrading his form. I'm not sure what I guess I have a formal translation there, but Machziv is some level of degradation of his form. And they're going to speak about a person, they're going to say, well, that person, it's a nice tzura, it's a nice physical form, but his actions are disgusting, are deplorable. That's what happens if we don't attempt to model ourselves after God, our actions after God. Sherei ikar hatzelem v'hadamus ha'elyon. The primary way in which we are similar to God, hein pu'ulosav, that's our actions. Meaning, the primary way that we strive to be close to God, we strive to parallel ourselves after God, to be similar to God, it's through our actions. Umayo illa, what will it help him? Heoso kitsura ha'elyona demus tavne sevarav. What's it going to help if he's just physically patterned after God? U'pu'ulosav lo yitam alakono, but his physical actions are not similar to God at all. Lefichach, therefore, roi she yidame el pu'ulos haketer vehein yud gimel midos shel rachum melyonos. Therefore, it's appropriate to make our actions similar to God, and that is through the yud gimel midos of rachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy. Uremuzo besod hapsukim, and they're hinted to in the pasuk in Micha. Miel kamocha, Yeshua Rechamenu, Titanemes. And that's just a shortened version of the Pesukim. We'll see them inside in a moment. Imkein ro'i shetimtze'ena bo yud gimel midos elu. And therefore it's appropriate for a person to find within himself the 13 midos. Va'achsham nefarish oso hapa'ulos yud gimel shiru'uyos shetihiyena bo. And now he's saying, I'm going to go on and I'm going to explain to you these 13 midos. So what do we have here in the introduction? We have Ramosha Cordovero saying, we strive to be like God. We know we're created B'Tselem Elohim. And actually the Abarbanel has an interesting take on the word Tselem. He says, contained within that word, the first two letters are Tsel. Tsel is a shadow. Right? So on some level, we're the shadow of God. Right? We usually translate as we're created in God's image. But he says it's more direct than an image. It's actually a shadow in terms of, right, just like when I move, my shadow moves right along with me. So it's when God's actions and God's activities, we're supposed to move right along with those actions. We're supposed to be very similar, very close to, very in touch with those movements of God, those actions of God, those midos of God. So he's saying, so again, Ramosh Cordovero is telling us that we have this tzelem, but we have to maintain it, because the tzelem has two aspects. There's the physical part, the demus, right? We're physically, you know, similar. God doesn't have a physical corporeal body, but, you know, on some level we believe that there's a physical pattern to something above, even if it's just metaphorical descriptions of God as having features, having eyes, having ears, having hands. So we're similar to that. But at the same time, that's a given. That applies to everyone in the world. But what really is going to define us are our midos, our actions. And so we have to strive to have similar actions to God. And that's what the first part of Torah Devarah is about. What are those midos, and how can we strive to acquire them as human beings? So I just want to expound on this idea of being similar to God, God's actions. So just if you look quickly, the first page, actually, I just brought down. There are really two versions of the Yud Gimel Midos. One we're actually more famous with from the Slichos, from the Yom Kippur prayers. And that's what we have in Source 1, which appears in Shmos. This is where Moshe is on the mountain, and he's praying that God should forgive the Jewish people after the Chet HaEgel. Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra, and a little bit of a debate. The first name of God here is one of the 13, is not. So leaving that aside, Hashem, Hashem, God, God, Kel, Rachum v'chanun, right, He's merciful, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed v'emes, right, he gives favor, He shows kindness and truth, Notzer Chesed la'alafim, He creates kindness for thousands, Nosei Avon, He overlooks sin, Vapesha, and other types of sins, V'chata'ah, V'nakeh, and He cleanses. Now, Lo Yinakeh means, sort of has the opposite connotation, but Chazal intentionally cut it off after the word V'nakeh. So those are the 13, and if you look in the first column, I've listed the 13. They're very brief, one or two words each. Now if we jump ahead a few thousand years or so, Micha. Micha's a prophet. He's one of the Treas, or one of the 12 minor prophets. And Micha, he has a more expanded version, which the Arizal seems to say this is a more complete, more full version. Moshe sort of, these are the seeds, and by the time of Micha, these midos, these attributes of God, they're fully flourished. They're much more accessible. There's much more there. And we'll read the Psukim. Mi el kamocha, God, who is like you? Nosei avon, He pardons iniquity, translated as. Va'over al pesha, He forgives transgression. L'she'irit nachlato, that's a separate midah, for the remnant of His heritage, referring to the Jewish people. Lo hechzik la'adapo, he does not stay angry forever. Ki chafitz chesed hu, because He desires kindness, He wants kindness. Yoshuv yirachamenu, He will again return to show us His rachamim, His compassion. Yichbosh avonosenu, He'll vanquish our sins. V'tashlich b'mtzolos yam kol chatosam, He will cast their sins out into the sea. Titein emes liyakov, give truth to Jacob, meaning Jacob's descendants, us. Chesed la'avram, kindness to Avram. Ashenesh batal avosenu, which you have sworn to our forefathers, mimeked them, from the days of old. So you see, Micha, they're much more expanded, but again, there are 13 there, and they parallel.
What's the context in terms of Micha saying this?
That's an excellent question. With Nevi'im Achronim, it's sometimes difficult to pin down the context, because sometimes they have very long prophecies, and there's actually debate amongst the commentaries what it's referring to, at which point in history they're going on. Very often, it's actually difficult to even pinpoint when these prophets lived. So, because, you know, we don't necessarily have a lot of background information, very often. For example, the longer ones, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yishayahu, there's a lot of background, a lot of context to where they were prophesizing. So it's easy to know where they lived, who they were speaking to. But many of the Treyasar, it's very, very challenging. So for example, someone like Yonah is a little more famous, but we know basically around when he lived, right, what the context was. But someone like, just to pick the opposite extreme, Ovadia, the whole Sefer is one perek, 20-something psukim. So there's basically no context. It's very, very difficult to know who he's talking to. And there's debate, hundreds of years, the commentaries debate he lived. This century, this generation talking to this king, that king, differences of hundreds of years. So as far as giving the context, it's sometimes tricky. But the truth is, I think for our purposes, it's not always important because we're going to work with it on a very homiletical level. So we're not necessarily going to operate with it right in its context, as Chazal often do. They'll take verses, they'll take psukim, and they'll give a deeper meaning, a drash, or in this case, even a sod, more of a mystical, deeper meaning. And even though it might not fit into the what we call pshat, the simple level of the text, that's not going to necessarily bother Chazal. Because that's not what they're working with. They're working on a deeper level. As far as this commandment to be similar to God, to parallel our lives after God, so the truth is, this is actually a mitzvah. It's the undertone. He doesn't come out and say it, but the truth is, it's there very much. So just one more thing as far on the Yud Gimel Midos, because it plays such a central role in the davening on Yom Kippur and Slichos and that time period. So that really comes from the following Gemara. The Gemara in Source 3, at the top of the second page, quotes, in the packet. So it quotes a Gemara from Rosh Hashanah. And it says, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra, which we saw as the introductory verse that Moshe says, that the Torah introduces the Yud Gimel Midos with. Amar of Yochanan. Yochanan said, Il mole mikra kasuv ef shala omra. Had the pasuk itself, had the Torah itself not described God in these terms, it would be impossible to say it. Milamed, it teaches us, Shenit atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tibor. It tells us that God wrapped himself up almost in a talus like a shliach tibor. Meaning, had the Torah not said it, I couldn't say that. I can't speak about God that way, but the Torah says it. The Herelo Lemoshe Seder Tefillah. And God showed Moshe this Seder HaTefillah, this order of prayer, this prayer. Amalo, he told him, Kol Zman She Yisrael Chot In, as any time that the Jewish people are sinning, Ya'asu Lefanai K'Seder HaZeh V'Ani Mochel Lahem. Perform this service in front of me, and I'll forgive them. That's a pretty powerful guarantee. I mean, that's the power of the Yud Gimel Midos. Certainly, now there are two aspects of the Yud Gimel Midos. This is focusing on the aspect of the Yud Gimel Midos as prayer, right? And that's something that we do, again, Slichos, Yom Kippur. It's a very central prayer. We do it on Tachanun, depending on your Nusach. Yes, we do it on Tachanun. On the Shalosh Regalim, when we take out the Torah, we do it. So there's one element there of prayer, of the Yud Gimel Midos. And that's a very powerful prayer, as the Gemara says here. Ya'asu l'fanai k'seder hazeh.
But only with the minyan.
Sorry?
But only with the minyan.
Right, right. That shows you how incredibly holy such a prayer is. It's like a davar sheba kedusha. Yeah. It's like Shmona, it's like a chazaret hashatz or kedusha or something like that you can only perform with a minyan. Not only that, but I heard an interesting explanation this year. And that was based on the following question. I said, listen, very often we daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we see that our prayers aren't necessarily answered. So how could that be? It's a guarantee. Now, the simple answer is the guarantee is that I'll forgive your sins, not necessarily that I'll... But I heard a much deeper answer. It doesn't say... The Gemara is very clear. It doesn't say Yomar Lefanai. It doesn't say recite before me. It says Ya'asu Lefanai. Do it. Exactly. Do it. Act it out. Don't say the words. Be the words. Live the words. Act the words. And this ties in beautifully with what the Torah Devorah is about. Torah Devorah is about taking the Midos and not just reading them off, but incorporating them into your life. acting, you know, actively living these midos. So that could be on a deeper level what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the secret? The secret's living these midos, incorporating that into your everyday life. So now just, again, to take a step back, and just this general concept of patterning our lives after God, God's attributes. So in Source 4, there's a pasuk from towards the end of the Chumash, and the pasuk says, Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh, kasher nishba lecha, ki dishmor es mitzvos Hashem elokecha, v'halachta bidrachav. And walk in His ways. Walk in God's ways. Emulate God. That's what we need to do. We need to emulate God. That's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa, according to Moshe Rishonim. It's counted. And we'll see the implications of that and what that means. Sorry, that was right there, Source 4. Just basically the underlying words. V'halachta b'drachav, that's the key. And again, it's echoed other parts of the Torah, like in Source 5. Kim shamor tishmarun es kol ha-mitzvah. Hazos asher anochi mitzaveh eschem la'asosa la'ahava es Hashem elokeichem. Right, you'll follow all the mitzvos. You'll love God. L'alekes b'chol d'rachav. To walk in all His ways, u'ledav kabo. And to cling to Him. Which many explain it are the same thing. By walking in God's ways, that's how we cling to Him. Now, before we get to the Sefer HaChinuch, the truth is that this mitzvah, this commandment of v'halachta b'drachav, played a central role in the thought of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik came back to this theme in many different talks, many different lectures, many different shirim, many different pieces that he wrote. He believed that this was a very central theme of the Torah.
Yishalacha.
Yes, in Yishalacha, many times, in many other essays. And actually, in this sefer, which was written by my Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schechter, so the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, which is one of three that he's written, which discuss various aspects, various customs of Rav Soloveitchik. He actually has an entire essay, in the beginning there's a few essays, but one of them is entitled B'mitzvat V'halachta B'drachav, right? Regarding the mitzvah of V'halachta B'drachav. And he has maybe about, I would say, 10, 12 pages, not terribly long, but again, all areas where Rav Soloveitchik incorporated this idea. Maybe just to share with you one or two, because I think there, you know, there's a lot there. He says very often, you know, once in a while, the Gemara describes God as performing a mitzvah. For example, the Gemara talks about God wearing tefillin. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, what does it say in God's tefillin? Or the Gemara we just saw talks about God wearing a talis, right, wearing tzitzis. Or the Gemara sometimes speaks about God learning. Story where someone met Eliyahu HaNavi and he says, oh, you know, what's God learning?
Showing Moshe the knot.
Sorry?
Showing Moshe the knot.
Showing Moshe the
knot.
The knot in the
tefillin. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I apologize. Yes, of course. Right, that's God wearing tefillin. Exactly. So, what is the Torah trying to tell us here? So, Rav Soloveitchik explained, one element of what Chazal is trying to say is that these mitzvot, besides from being a mitzvah d'oraisa in its own right, it's its own mitzvah to wear tefillin, but at the same time as wearing tefillin, you're also emulating God. Meaning, eating kosher is a mitzvah and I have to do it, but I'm not necessarily emulating God through that mitzvah. But these mitzvot, learning Torah, tzitzis, tefillin, any mitzvah that Chazal would describe God as performing, but when we do those mitzvot, there's an added element of us imitating God. V'halachta b'drachav, this mitzvah. And there's another very cute story, although I think there's a big musser in this story in his own right. So he said that when Rav Soloveitchik was giving a hesped, I'm trying to see exactly who the hesped was for, for Shatskis, one of the Dolim came to America, either way. So he says that the Gemara, where is this Gemara? In Avodah Zarah, goes through God's schedule. What's God's itinerary? What does He do every day? That's what the Gemara talks about.
Makes mattress.
Oh, that's actually a separate Gemara, where it speaks about how it's challenging to make matches, right? It says, Kasha Olav Kekriyas Yamsuf. It says, it's more challenging for God to make a couple than it is to split the sea. But this Gemara actually, either way, it goes through God's schedule. And one part of the schedule says, Kadosh Baruch Hu plays with the Leviathan. Leviathan, Leviathan, that's the big fish, right? That's spoken about in creation. There were two, God killed one off. There's one that's saved for the end of days. There's going to be a huge feast, right? The skin's going to make a tent, and we're going to eat the Leviathan. That's many Gemaras that refer to Leviathan. So Kadosh Baruch Hu plays with Leviathan. What does that mean? Right? You read that, and you're just thinking, like, what on earth were Chazal, like, trying to... Like you play fetch with a dog? So Rav Soloveitchik says that's exactly what it means. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be normal. Have a little bit of downtime sometimes. You can't always be, like, sitting on the edge, uptight, shaking, shivering. You need to have a little downtime. And he mentions it in this aspect because he says that, you know, sometimes you can't take everything so seriously in life. Sometimes you have to let things go, because if you're stiff like a board, things are you're gonna get knocked over from every little thing that hits you. Right? That's just normal. He says you have to be a little loose, a little flexible. And Rav Soloveitchik said when he would go to this Rav Shatzkus and he would complain about something, you know, that was going on either in the rabbinic life, in the political life, sometimes Rav Shatzkus would just say, it's not a big deal. Let it go. Let it slide. I mean, that's Pshat in this Gemara. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, again, that's part of imitating God. Not being so rigid. Being a little more. Sometimes being relaxed. Sometimes that itself is a musr. It's not always easy to do. Sometimes people like to feel like, I'm going to stand on principle, right? Principle, and they hold on to those principles for dear life. Sometimes you have to let go of the principle. Sometimes you have to know when to hold on. But very often, when it's something that's not worth fighting over, sometimes it's worth letting go. So, but again, it happens to be a beautiful, beautiful essay that... Maybe we'll explore parts of it in a later shiur. So the next source is the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch was a rishon. It's written anonymously. There are theories as to who may have written it, but it was officially published anonymously. And what the author did was he took all the mitzvot, 613 mitzvot, and he set them up according to the parsha. Put them in the order of the parsha. And he really wrote it for his son. He says in the beginning, and very often he actually refers to his son. I think in this piece, actually, he might even refer to his son. We'll see. So he says, I'm writing to my son. And in it, he speaks it's not so much a halachic work. Briefly, he'll include the halachas. He'll say, yeah, and this applies only in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, or this applies nowadays, applies to men, to women. You know, if you violated this, you violated it. And the halachas are kitzur, but he actually explores the tameh hamitzvot. He explores what he calls the shorashim, the roots. Right? What are the emotional feelings that some certain mitzvahs are supposed to engender within us? That's, you know, and he's not the first, Jewish thinker to explore these. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim devotes a lot of time to discussing Ta'ameh mitzvos. He's very pro discussing them. But that seems to be the main trend. Now, there's actually a difference between trying to explore what is the ta'am ha-mitzvah, what is the reason for the mitzvah, and saying, well, if the reason doesn't apply, so the mitzvah doesn't apply. Which the Gemara actually has an opinion like that. The Gemara has a machlokas, whether darshin on time of the krah, or we're not darshin on time of the krah. Darshin on time means, well, if I know why we do the mitzvah, so if in this case, can I ignore it or can I not ignore it? And the Gemara has two opinions, but we paskin that we're not darshin on time of the krah. One classic example is that the Gemara says, well, Shlomo HaMelech said, you know, kings shouldn't have too many wives because they're going to, you know, they're going to make him deviate in worship of what is Arnold. And Shlomo said, no, me, I can handle it, you know, Shlomo HaMelech, right? And he had many, many wives. And at the end of his life, it says his wives, whether he actually worshipped Avodah Zarah, which seems to be the simple reading of the Psukim, or the Gemara says he didn't actually, but he's held accountable for it. Whatever happened, the point is it wasn't good because he didn't follow this mitzvah. That's the bottom line. He didn't follow this mitzvah. Gemara has another example. It says you shouldn't, you know, hold if you take a mashkon, a collateral from someone who you lent money to. So you have to, let's say you took their pajamas. Poor person, it's all they had. So at night you have to give them the pajamas back. So it says, what if I took a collateral? I mean, I shouldn't hold the collateral for too long, whatever the case is. So it says, what if the person's a billionaire? They don't need the collateral. Right? There's no. Even if the person's a billionaire, you might still have to give it back. Either way, so in general, we don't apply the reason behind the mitzvos, you know, in a halachic sense. We don't say, well, if this mitzvah is only for X, Y, and Z reason, we don't perform the mitzvah. That we don't say. But we do allow for searching for meaning within the mitzvos. Right? Trying to understand a little bit more of an emotional level what the mitzvos are there to achieve. And that's why it's not a contradiction when we have varying ta'amei ha-mitzvos. Very often you'll read, and the Rambam will say one thing, and the Rambam will say something completely different. And the Sefer HaChinuch will have a third opinion. So how could it be there are three different opinions as to why we do a certain mitzvah? So I once heard a beautiful mashal. Someone said, you know...
We'll have to wait for the Mashiach.
Sorry?
We'll have to wait for the Mashiach to come in.
For the true reason.
For the true reason.
Maybe there is no true reason. Maybe they're all right. So that's what someone said. So this is the example someone once gave me. Someone said, you go up to someone who's married, and you say, well, why do you love your wife? And the person says, well, I like her because she's a very good cook. And that's it. That's the end of the conversation. That's not such a good sign. Right? It's not so good.
Sounds dangerous.
Sounds a little, I don't know, maybe some marriage is on the rocks. I don't know. But the point is, if you can only identify one thing that you love about your spouse, so I think there's a little bit of a chisaron there. Something's missing. Right? Right? There can be there should be many reasons that you love your spouse. So too, when there's a mitzvah and we're just searching for meaning, again, we're not trying to explain the halakha context, we're just searching for a more meaningful understanding of what we're doing. So it could be there are multiple layers of meaning. One doesn't have to preclude the other one. They can coexist. So either way, that's just a little bit of background. Tamei ha-mitzvos and the Sefer HaChinuch, which is dedicated to exploring the Tamei ha-mitzvos. So the Sefer HaChinuch is really, this is the end. If you see mitzvah tough, Reish Yud Aleph, there's only Taryag mitzvos. This is the third to last one. It's way at the end. The last one is writing a Sefer Torah. I don't know what the second to last one is. So it's the third to last one. Mitzvah lehidamos bedarkei Hashem yizbarach hatovim mahayisharim. There's a mitzvah to be similar in our actions to God, which is again exactly what the Talmud Devar is saying. So again, he just goes shenitzavinu la'asos koma asenu bederech hayoshev hatov b'kol kolchenu. We're commanded that all our actions should be in a yashar, in a straight, in a good manner. With, right, as much as we're able to. Ulahatos kol dvareinu asher beinenu ubein zu asenu al derech hachesed v'harachamim. And whenever we deal with people, we should deal with them in a merciful way, right, in a kind way, because that's how God deals with people. Kasher yadanu mitoraseinu shezehu derech Hashem v'zeh cheftzol mibriyosav l'man yizku l'tovo ki chafetz chesedu. We know just as God wants good for us, so too we have to imitate that. We have to want good for the people we interact with. That's the pasuk we saw earlier. We should walk in the ways of God. That's the second pasuk we quoted. So he says this mitzvah is repeated. And Chazal, the sages, when they were describing this mitzvah, they explained the following. Just like God is described as being rachum, right? That's one of the midos, right? Shem Hashem kel rachum, afatoh yirachum. So too you should be merciful. Ma hakadosh baruch hu nikra chanon, just like God is called chanon, afatoh hey chanon. What the difference between rachum and chanon is when we get to those midos, we can discuss, because they seem to be similar, but there are subtle differences between what it means to be a rachum and what it means to be a chanon. Ma'akadosh baruch hu nikra tzadik, afatah hei tzadik. Just like God is called righteous, you should be righteous. Ma'hu nikra kadosh, just like He's holy, afatah hei kadosh. V'inyan kulo nomar shenilmod nafshenu l'aleches b'pu'ulos tovos ki'ilu hamidos nechbados asher yisupar b'hem yizbarach al derech mashal lomar shemenehig b'midos tovos elu imbriyosav. So again, the mitzvah is for us, we should learn from all these actions. When the Torah describes God, again, just like when Chazal described God, when the Torah describes God, it's doing it to tell us how to perform this mitzvah. Oh, that pasuk describes God, but that goes under this mitzvah. That's something we need to try and do. That's something we need to strive to do. V'hu baruch hu yisala al kol ilui gadol she'in banu koach v'dei lahasig godel ma'alah so v'rov tuvo v'lo b'chol hanivraim. And God knows, you know, ultimately, it's impossible for us to come close to God. He's God. We're people. There's a limitation there. Right? There's a limit. V'alderech hazeh she'amarnu yikrah neviim lekel baruch hu kol hakinuyim tzadik yashar tamim gibor chazak rav chesed erech apayim. That's why if you go through neviim, if you go through the prophets, there are so many words used to describe God. Different attributes, different aspects. Right? They could just keep calling him God. God, 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 God. That's it, one word. Right? Yud kei vav kei Elokim. But they refer to all these other midos, all these other attributes. Why? Because they're trying to describe all the different aspects. Right? You know,
isn't also a Gemara that says like you shouldn't try to like over describe God?
Yes, that's a Gemara in Davening, right? The Gemara says, right, we say
like you're limiting.
Exactly. So the Gemara Megillah says someone got up and with a whole list of attributes of God. And he said, oh, and then when he was done, after 10 minutes, so another rabbi in the shul went over to him and said, oh, you're done? That's it? What do you mean? That's all God is? Meaning, within the context of prayer, we're only allowed to use whatever the Torah says, because that's where it came from. Right? Kel Gadol, Gibor V'Nor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But only the words in the Siddur. We're in a shul, so,
Probably take too long to look for it on the iPhone.
By the time I get it, you'll have it.
No, where is it? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanora. Those are the three words that I'm referring to, the Gemara refers to. So it says, those three, the Torah explicitly refers to God, Gadol, Gibor, V'Nora, right? So, yeah, sure, God's more than that. You can give an infinite description of what God is. So within the context of prayer, we have to limit it, or else we'd be davening all day, giving a whole list.
The
Shmona Esra, yes. Yes, but that's it's a story. I think it's in the second parak of Megillah. That's where that story appears. So again, so the reason the Nevi'im are so descriptive about God is to provide us with avenues to be similar to God, right? If the Torah would just say, be similar to God, but you didn't describe what God is, so that would be a very challenging task, right? How do I know what to do? Is eating pizza similar to God? Is going shopping similar to God? What does God do? So that's why the prophets are filled with descriptions. Ki ba'amam erech apayim, ein ha'inyan chalila shiyeh ka'as lefanav la'olam. Because again, what does that mean? When they say God is erech apayim, he's very calm, he's slow to anger. So what does that mean? That God is really angry? I mean, obviously God is above emotion. That's what we believe. We believe God's above emotion. Now, as a side point, there is an important comment of Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, actually on Parshas Noach. And Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch there explains that the Torah does describe God in physical form, because there is some level where the Torah does want us to relate to God in that sense, in that emotional sense. Even though God doesn't have emotions, there is a level that the Torah might want us to understand God as having emotions, which is why the Torah describes him. Now, this is opposed to the Rambam. The Rambam is very clear in Hilchos Tshuva. He's very opposed to the idea of God having emotions. And he says, there's no such thing, there's no physical, no emotional, he's God. He's God and that's it.
In 13 attributes also.
Right, that's one of the 13 attributes. Exactly, God is above physical form. So, happens to me that the Ravid has some critiques of the Rambam on the side, the Mishnah Torah. So here he has a critique, and it's an interesting critique. He says, it's true what you say, that God doesn't have a physical form, but I've seen many good Jews who have made this mistake and thought God, and they're not such bad people. You know, the Rambam, if the Rambam met someone and that person said God has a hand, the Rambam would say, well, that person's a heretic.
Right.
That's it. I wouldn't count that person. I wouldn't trust his kashrus. I wouldn't count him to a minion. Now, the Ravid says, it's not so big. I met people they made that mistake. It's not such a big deal, according to the Ravid. So Rav Hirsch doesn't necessarily have to take sides on that debate. But Rav Hirsch is saying, on a textual level, the Torah does sometimes want us to relate to God as having emotions.
No.
I'm not...
Yad Chazaka. He brought us out of...
Yes, that's an example. He brought us out with Yad Chazaka, or even these attributes. I'm not sure. I don't think it's by Bavel. I can get it to you.
Look it up also.
Yeah. I'll try and if I I'll find it. I'll send you an email.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. But Now, either way, so again, so this is why, now, even though the Sefer HaChinuch here is, again, taking more of a Rambam approach, which seems to be the mainstream normative approach, God doesn't get angry, and therefore God can't be slow to anger, because he doesn't get angry. But the point is, the Torah is explaining it, kind of like the Torah wants to explain it to us in terms of being slow to anger.
He gets angry for one regal chad.
Oh, well, that's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, God, for like a millisecond.
Bilam.
Right, and Bilam knew that one millisecond, and that was the danger, so God sort of tripped him up. Right,
for 30 days, he didn't get angry.
Right.
He messed him up.
Right, it messed Bilam, that's why Bilam wasn't able to curse the Jews.
But Bilam knew this, then, and that's why he had to give him a blessing.
Yeah. So what's interesting there is that if he only gets angry for a millisecond, right, so how could you curse anyone in a millisecond? Right? So that's what Tosfos asked that question. What was he going to say? God's angry for... Oh, you missed it. Before you even open your mouth, it's over. So Tosfos there asked that question. That's an excellent point. So again, the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, it's not that God gets angry. But God, we have to understand what it means to be slow to anger, and then we have to imitate that.
And love is an emotion too.
Love is an emotion too. I'm trying to think. Do we ever see God loving people?
It says all over God loves us.
Right? God loves yes. Abraham.
Right, right. Exactly. Love. It's an excellent example. Now, it happens to be love of God is its own mitzvah.
He loves us, so we should
right.
love
him. Right, right. That happens to be a separate mitzvah, even without this mitzvah. Avad Hashem. Right? Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Right? Love God. As we spoke about Mishmar.
Right.
It was the second, third mitzvah. The third mitzvah that the Rambam has is loving God. But perhaps God's love for people teaches us that we should love people, right? Besides, you know, besides v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but perhaps expressing love to fellow people is an expression of halachta v'dracha, of walking in God's ways, right? Because, again, that's the idea that all these attributes of God, that's what we're striving for. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch keeps driving home. It's just right. Chalila shiyeh kas lefan of la'olam. Right, God.
Chalila is a fun word. No way.
Yeah,
that's what I translate. Chalil,
right, or you know, we would say God forbid. Chalila, that God should get angry. What does that mean?
No way.
Right, right. Comes from the word chol, like it's mundane for God to say such a thing about God. Chol versus kodesh, right? Mundane versus holy. So it doesn't make sense. Ki asher biyado lahemes ulahachayos. Limchos olam livros, because in God's hands he could kill, he could make people live, he could destroy the world, create a new world. Ve'enomer lo matasel lamiyachos. Doesn't make sense for God to get angry. He's all powerful. If you're all powerful, it doesn't make sense for you to be angry. Gam ki hakas enenu shlemus b'koes. Ve'elav baruchu kol shlemus. Also, why? Because if you're angry, that means there's something lacking, right? Why do you get angry? Right. Someone might get angry because they came home and the house was a mess, or dinner wasn't ready, or
what's
you know,
ego,
what? Ego, right? The point is, there's something lacking.
Right.
So this is, God is shalem. God is perfect. God is complete. So what does God have to be angry about? It doesn't make sense. But again, the Torah describes it in these terms for us to understand it. It's what we said. Kolomar shehin hamidos hamalos shemit nahig bahen. Embryosav, v'yeshlanu lilmo v'lasos kol drachav b'dimyono. These are just the midos that God interacts with us. Now, there are Kabbalistic explanations of this which I'm not really familiar with, so you might have to go to a different shir to get those. But, you know, there's God, who's the all-powerful, all-omniscient, perfect being, and then there's this physical world. So where does that intersection happen? You know, it's very hard to imagine how there can be an intersection. So there are different explanations in terms of there are different levels of the soul, what interacts with above, what interacts with below. But the point is these midos, which we associate with people, the mida of anger, the mida of love, all those are really bound in the physical realm. So that is God's manifestation coming into the world. So God's manifestation, God who's the perfect being, but when his manifestation comes into the world, it can come in the form of love, it can come in the form of anger, it can come in the form of kindness or mercy, it can come in all those forms. So it's that revelation of God in the world, not God himself, but that revelation of God in the world, and that's what we have to strive to be like. That's what we're working towards.
So would it be safe to say that all the midos that people might want to work on are, in fact, like shadows of Hashem?
Yes. Now, again, this becomes dangerous, and this is why, you know, in the early Kabbalistic, when Kabbalah was first revealed, this is where some people, you know, you have to be very careful, because one of the Yud Gimel Karma of the Rambam is that God is one. God is one. There's one God.
Second mitzvah of the Rambam.
Right. Second mitzvah of the Rambam. Right. Exactly. We don't believe in dualism. That there's good, evil, good force and an evil force. We don't believe in polytheism. Right. We believe that God is one. Monotheism. Now, Kabbalah speaks about different spheros, which are again different emanations. Don't know what that fully means. And again, we're just saying that there are different midos of one person. Now, just like I can have different midos, lahavdil, right? You know, I might be very nice and cheerful. I also might be very mean to sometimes. I might be, right? Now, God is everything all the time. That's what's unique about God. But it doesn't mean that there are different, you know, that's why I meant it's a little dangerous. We just have to understand that God is one. God is all these midos. But, you know, when he's coming into a physical realm, it has to be on a level that we can understand it. So we can only understand one act in one way, right? I mean, I could do something, so that might be merciful. It might be mean. Might be loving, right? So when we view gods, we label them in ways that we can understand it. Even though God might be, you know, is more, certainly more than one thing.
Maybe also in the Siddur when it says for the sake of the unification of
Yes.
Maybe that's
L'shem Yichud.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's again, that's a Kabbalistic prayer.
So yeah.
And that's why it makes sense. So again, it's a little.
So these attributes that have to be brought back together.
Right. That's why people that are a little bit more opposed to the prevalence of Kabbalah are less comfortable with that prayer because it smacks of God having different parts, but there, you know, it's certainly an accepted custom among many to recite those prayers before doing mitzvahs. Yeah.
If it's in art school, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Can't be that bad if it's in the art school. I saw actually a beautiful explanation that it says you bring, you know, the Kudsha Brichu and the Shechinte. So the Kudsha Brichu are the many attributes of God in potential. I saw this in the Sefer Shabbos Malkasa, which is written by Rav Pincus. So it's a beautiful Sefer about Shabbos, but he speaks about the Shekhinah is the manifestation, right, of the potential, right? You know, things always exist in potential, and then they exist in actual. So, right, in Hebrew they call it b'koach and b'foal, right? Meaning, I potentially could, you know, lift 500 pounds, but I'm not doing it right now. Versus if I actually do it, then you really see it. So God has, there's a lot of potential there, and that's the Kudsha Brichu element of God. The Shechinte is the manifestation, the emanation of God. And that's where we're trying to bring the potential. By doing mitzvos, that's what it means we're trying to bring them together. We're trying to bring the potential into the actual, into the physical. So that's just one idea that I just saw recently.
And since some of Kabbalistic stuff, you know, merged with the Musar here.
Yes.
When you opened at the beginning, and you were talking about the shadow, and you were talking about God, and it occurred to me also that another side of that is the Kabbalistic concept of when you do something, it reflects up to the other.
Yes, absolutely. This is spoken about a lot in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which is by Rav Chaim Volozhin, the preeminent student of the Vilna Gaon.
Right.
Vilna Gaon we're going to see in a minute. So he speaks a lot about that, how our actions that we do down here reflect up and have effects, and ultimately those effects spill back down to this world. And he speaks about prayer and mitzvos and all, you know, all the effects, he calls them the olamos, the worlds. You know, and our mitzvos build worlds, literally, and our averos destroy worlds. And he spends a lot of time talking about it in his Sefer, which is an incredible work. He was able to balance it. It's Kabbalistic also, but he's able to balance it in a way that's very accessible. So, Just before we read the last verse, the rest he says the shorish of the mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah is basically the mitzvah itself, right? What's the idea behind the mitzvah? What's the emotional feeling behind? Well, this mitzvah is an emotional mitzvah, right? It's directing your emotions and patterning your emotions and your feelings and your actions after God. That's an end. That's not just a means to an end, right? When I keep kosher, so you can say, well, what's the end, right? Kosher is the means to some other end. But here, patterning your life after God.
How different is this mitzvah than like kosher to you?
So that's an excellent question. The truth is, there's a mitzvah kedoshim to you. Oh, okay. Kedushin, right? Be holy. Be holy. That seems like a general thing.
Be holy because I'm holy.
So the truth is that if you... It's an excellent question. If you look there in the commentaries on what it means to be holy, so Rashi says, Prusha min ha'arayos. Holiness has to do with being, you know, being moral in the realm of sexual relationships. And if you're moral, that's what it means to be kadosh. The Ramban there takes a little bit of a different take. He says, no, you know what being moral is? I'll tell you why it's different. Because he says kadosh, not moral, kadosh. Kadosh, he calls it kadesh atzmecha b'motor lach. Make yourself holy through that which is permitted to you. Meaning, what's holiness? Holiness is saying, there's nothing stopping me from eating 400 barbecue wings for dinner. But that's just gluttonous behavior. That's not holy.
400 what?
Chicken wings.
Oh.
Or hot dogs. Whatever you would eat, you might eat.
I was just kidding the details.
Yeah, okay. So, well, it matters. So, again, so he says, Kedusha for the Ramban is when you say, no, you know what, this right here is strictly mutter, according to the Torah. I'm allowed to do that, but I'm going to separate from that anyways. That's Kedusha for the Ramban.
So what about just doing it because you're told to? It's Hashem, Hashem wants you.
No, so if you do, you're saying mitzvos in general.
Yeah,
right, no, so certainly doing mitzvos is okay, and that certainly is holy. But in the understanding of this particular mitzvah, I'm trying to explain why Kedoshim Tihiyu is a different mitzvah than this. Because Kedoshim Tihiyu, that particular mitzvah, doesn't necessarily just mean be holy. It has a more particular context, certainly for Rashi or the Ramban, and that is, you know, again, the Ramban coins a term there, Navel Bershus HaTorah, which is someone who's disgusting with permission of the Torah, right? Because, listen, the Torah never said I can't engage in X, Y, and Z behavior. You know, we would call this actually the spirit of the law. You know, the Ramban says, holiness is found in the spirit of the law. Because you can find people that stick to the letter of the law their whole lives, but they don't
still
live
jerks.
Very... Exactly.
But that's why we need Musser.
That's 100% why we need Musser. That's certainly why we need Musser. So again, it's the Shoresh is obvious for the Sefer Chinuch, and he just says, Dinam Gam King term, the halachos, the actual practical halachos, they're short. Inyanim hu derech klal sheyiv char lo ha'adam b'chol inyanav v'chol ma'asav bein ba'achila bein b'shtia bein b'mas v'matan bein divrei Torah bein b'tfila bein b'sicha v'chol davar ha'derech ha'tova ha'mamutza. A person has to select in all their actions, eating, drinking, business, learning Torah, everything they do, their conversations, they have to choose the right path. Here he's referring to something the Rambam has. He says, don't go to extremes. The Rambam coins a term called Shvil HaZahav, which means the middle path, literally the golden path. And he speaks about how the golden path is the middle. You know, we don't believe in extremes. You don't want to be extremely passive, you know, because then you're just going to get walked over your whole life. You don't want to be extremely aggressive, because that's also not good. You want to sort of find that middle road. That's what he's referring to here. Either way, so this is I think the Sefer HaChinuch has a nice explanation of what it means. He brings in some Gemaras, Ma'ahu Rachum, Afatah Rachum, right? Just like God is merciful, we have merciful. And this, and the truth is the Gemara takes us to a whole other level. Because the Gemara says not just the midos of God, but the actions of God. The Gemara says, Ma'ahu Malbisha Rumim, just like God clothes the naked, like we read 3 weeks ago, right? When Adam and Chava were naked, God gave them clothing. So too we have to clothe the naked. And God buries the dead because he buried Moshe. So too we have to bury the dead. You know, and all these actions that go, not just the midos, but even the actions, those also come back to this mitzvah of halacha b'drachav. So there's really a lot there. Visit the sick. Oh, next week's parsha. Right? The Gemara brings that example. Right? Just like God visits Avram, mevaker chom, so too we have to be mevaker chom. Many of the mitzvahs of chesed, right? Basically the whole concept of chesed comes from this, because God is, one of the midos is chesed, right? God is kind, so do we have to strive. So I just thought a nice way to bring it all together is this last this comment from the Gra. Now, I looked up the Gra, and then I quoted it, and then I forgot what parak it was in. So it's in Mishlei. Mishlei is 31 or 32 prakim. So it's in Pasuk Chav Dalet, in one of the prakim. And I could tell you it's not Eishes Chayim. It's not that parak.
It's 31.
Right. So it's one of the other prakim. I could limit it for you there. But the Gra there has a beautiful comment. This is Orach Chaim. The pasuk says the path of life. So it says Ha'adam Nikra Holech. Man is called a walker, a mover. Shetzarech Leilech Tamid Midarga LaDarga, because in life we have to keep moving. So you have to keep climbing, step by step. V'im lo ya'ale l'mala, yered mata mata, chas v'shalom. Because if we're not constantly taking steps up, we're going down. Ki bilti efshar shi'amod b'darga chada. Because it's impossible to stay on one level. It's not. It's just not humanly possible. V'zehu orech chayim l'mala. That's what the pasuk says. The path of life is up. Right, l'man, so kidei shelo yitel laredes l'mata sha'ola. U'machmas ha'orech chayim yasor mishaol. Sha'ol is the depths, the bottom, the place where you don't want to be. So life, right, orech chayim, the path of life is to constantly go up. And that's the whole idea behind learning Musar, and particularly a sefer like Tomer Devorah, which is, again, is going to speak about, you know, both figuratively climbing up, but at the same time elevating ourselves to that level of God, following those midos, fulfilling the mitzvah of v'halachta b'drach, of patterning our lives, not just that we're physically similar to God, but that we're, you know, that our spirit, that our actions, that our maisim are so similar to God's. That's what Tomer Devorah, Mirtz Hashem, in the coming weeks, we'll explore midah by midah, how to incorporate it into our lives, and what it means to fulfill the Yud Gimel midah. So again, I just want to give a big yishkach. We're starting big yishkach to Neil, and I look forward to the coming weeks.
I'll be here next.